Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up, brought to you by
Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine with Dr. Jack Schaefer, and HappyTrees.co. And we're happy to say Chuck is alive. He survived, and he's back.
Really a hologram,
but this is an AI. And this one's happy. No, I'm kidding. You'd be tricky to be an AI chat. Anyway, I digress. Professor Tim Murphy, author of The Christ Cure, is coming on at 3:30 to talk about, you know, the left. Not only are they ignoring all the child exploitation that's going on with the illegal immigrants and the children crossing the border, they're aiding and abetting it. And a bizarre decision by the Biden administration to get rid of DNA testing, which has been in place for years, to determine are the kids who are crossing with these people claiming to be their parents, are they really related? A shocking number of times it's not. So Biden is like, you know, look, yeah, just forget about doing that. It's so much easier to like hijack society. We're just going to give them voting cards when they come in at three, and we'll just indoctrinate them without any pesky parents. But anyway, we're going to be talking about that. But want to start off with DeSantis. And let me say, feel free, because we don't have any guests at the first half hour. So if you want to unmute yourself and join the conversation with live audio, go ahead and do that. Otherwise, we'll read your comments on the chat section. And if you want to call, 888-627-6008.
And I'd like to know, who does like Ron DeSantis? Does anybody out there like Ron DeSantis? I used to like Ron DeSantis, not over Trump, but you know, all he's done is prove that he will be a faithful servant to the billionaire class. And who wants that? Who wants the Bushies, the Romneys,
Cheneys,
the Ted Cruzes? And it's just, he doesn't have a lane because the real moderates are not going to like him, because the real moderates are with the pathetic GOPE of
Mike Pence.
No, not so much that. Tim Scott, you know, that makes him, he's got a ton of Bushies and Romneys backing him. You know, they're in big demand for all their candidates. Like Nikki Haley, it's the same thing. And it's extraordinary that all these people, and the only one that did have any chance was Ron DeSantis.
And
people like Trump better, and they're not going to move to Ron DeSantis. So, I mean, he's going to stay at 20%. And I think he's going to get less, because when Youngkin gets in or someone else gets in, he's not going to take him from Trump. He'll take him from
each other. And I think if you were, well, first I want to talk about the Twitter thing. We finished our show on Wednesday. So I went to listen to it and I couldn't find it. I couldn't get in. I'm like, well, maybe I was wrong about the time. And then it turns out that the whole DeSantis thing crashed. And I think, now granted, I think all the corporate media people were annoyed that he was going on Twitter in the first place. Right, they were, you know, happy to trash him for it. But I think it was a disaster. And I mean, weigh in, what do you guys think? It was a disaster, right? I think you look like an idiot, because I'm just going to say, if you're launching a presidential bid, you'd think you would have somehow tested that before, because they only had roughly 600,000 people. I mean, Musk had way more for the BBC thing. So I'm not sure what the problem was.
Well, I can tell you, having just given a talk a few weeks ago at the club, you can think you're doing everything you possibly can. And have checked and double checked, and then you find out glitches. So.
Right, exactly. And so I think it was terrible. And then on the one hand, I have mixed feelings on it, because on the one hand, just even as a format, right? On the one hand, he did get a chance to talk at length about his policies with really very friendly questions, but you know, at least they weren't like attacking him kind of questions, right? And they were legitimate questions, I guess I would say that. But it was boring, right?
Boring.
It was very boring.
And he had no humor, no sense of...
No, and it fun. was... Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you compare Trump coming down the escalator in this perfect made for TV moment that we're still showing pictures of, and then DeSantis.
And by the way, he bought that crowd. Well, Trump did. Well, he doesn't have to buy him. No, but then he did.
And you know, you hear rumors that DeSantis didn't want to hold a campaign rally because he couldn't attract near the crowds of Trump and would attract protesters. So he did it. But I think it's also weird. Why did he do it on Rumble? Why would you, or on YouTube, even frankly, why would you do it without video? Right. I mean, people, all the studies, having been in TV for years, people pay so much more attention and they retain a lot more, the more senses you engage. Right. So if it's video and audio, that's way more than one or the other. Right. So I think it was kind of a weird choice. I think it would have been better to do that as sort of like a town hall kind of thing. Right. I mean, if I were, I would not launch that again. And instead, he's just getting trashed mercilessly. Right.
Well, his. You know, every once in a while, someone can make a comeback, but very seldom. John McCain did.
Right.
But usually once you're dead, you're dead. He'll be kept alive. There's a saying that campaigns don't stop. They run out of money, and he isn't going to run out of money. There's going to be plenty for lots of people to run around, but.
Well, and here's the thing. Yeah. Well, the people that donated to Jeb Bush have to throw their money somewhere. DeSantis is a swamp politician. Exactly. From Charlene, I heard Liz Cheney endorsed DeSantis. Yeah. Say no more. Right. It was like gathering, listening to the thing. It was like gathering around the crackling radio, listening to FDR. And then we got video. And she said, sure, that's like Bud Light endorsing him. And then from Jim, DeSantis is scripted. President Trump speaks from the heart. Yeah, you know, DeSantis did a good job. This is my speculation. He was not, he had notes. I'm sure his staff is handing him cards and stuff in response to the questions, right? Which is probably one of the reasons why they didn't want video.
No. DeSantis has enough brains and everything else. He's not Joe Biden. He is not Joe Biden.
But I still suspect that. Yet. But here's the thing, too. I wanted, before we kind of get into some, because we're going to play the Trump immediately came out with the video, which is, well, numerous ones, which is hilarious. But they're all making a big deal right now about the fact that he raised $8.2 million right after that record fundraising. Well, guess what, guys? That was planned. I mean, even if I were going to do a live thing and, you know, and then was going to ask for money, I would have that lined up ahead of time, right? Like when you do your first podcast, you have the calls lined up ahead of time. So, you know, I mean, he's got billionaire donors, right? So you think that they weren't all ready to do that so they could have the headline the next day, Ron DeSantis, record-breaking money raised after. That's just another scam. And to me, it shows Ron DeSantis, I'm like you, I liked him first, but he's just a phony now, right? And to go to your point, the lane, how does he run? He can't, well, what he's doing is he's running his campaign is based on hope. He is hoping, and his billionaire donor friends are hoping that somehow or another, all of these lawsuits knock Trump off, or maybe Trump has a stroke or something, right? I mean, I read one analysis that said hope isn't really a very good campaign strategy because he can't beat Trump. Now, he's going to try to make the bid that in a general election, I'll do better, right? But guess what? So is everyone else.
Well, no, he doesn't do better. No, they don't do better. You can just go on Real Clear Politics, and Trump does better against Biden than DeSantis does, and better than certainly Nikki Haley or all the rest of them. So the raison d'etre of you know, but I can win is no, but you're worse. I mean, yeah. there's no logic to it.
Not only that, Trump already won. So to try to argue that Trump can't be elected is totally false. Trump already won. Some would say he won twice. Me too. I was being sarcastic there. And so for DeSantis to claim that somehow he's more electable than Trump is bogus. And really, the only reason he's running, and you can't say this, is because if you really believed what he says he believes in, and if it's not just about the billionaires, why not just wait? Right? Why not wait? Wait until 2028, see what happens in 2024, win or lose, DeSantis can run. So if it were really about the country and really about principles and policies, he would just wait. And so his problem is he's got to agree with Trump on everything, because he probably actually does, right? Yes. And well, who knows? But he wants to get Trump's base, particularly for the primary. In the meantime, so the only reason he's running is because the billionaires want him to, and they're paying for it, right?
Yeah, they're paying for it.
And that's not much of a campaign ad.
Well, it really isn't. I mean, we always hope politicians run for the right reasons, and they never do. They just run because they want personal aggrandizement. And if you're in politics a while, you realize that's the only thing that really matters.
Personal luck. Yeah, that's what I live for. Yeah. We'll hear from Charlene. He couldn't get enough support for a hotel lobby announcement or a rally, a virtual campaign. He's going to do the same thing Joe Biden did. And then from Leo, maybe Megan and Harry will endorse DeSantis next week. And Charlene says, ah, Leo. Yeah, that's true. He's going for that. I mean, yeah, I think if you wanted to be the more moderate candidate, that Vivek Ramaswamy, I think, is, I have questions about him, but I mean, that's more centrist, right?
Well,
I mean,
so is Tim Scott. He's a boring kind of a John Thune endorses him as number two, and Mitch McConnell endorses him in some way, but which means he has no one.
Right.
And I don't know what he's running for. Trump, you're not running for vice president for most of these people because Trump, if he gets elected, doesn't want to have a more moderate vice president that if he gets impeached would take over.
He's going to make Barron his vice president, right? I mean, he's, or maybe Melania, he's going to have somebody he trusts this time. No weasels like Mike Pence. Like, I'll testify against him at the grand jury. I'm not doing anything.
When is Mike Pence going to jump in the ring with his excitement?
Where was I reading? He is going to be talking on Twitter as well. That should be even more boring, I just have to say. I feel like, okay, sometimes, you know, the policy stuff is boring. But I have to say Trump makes even that seem more interesting than DeSantis, right? I mean, that was just sort of a bit boring. And a lot of
And I watched him on the Newsmax didn't do. I had some glitches with that. So where he goes,
it's like, what's his lane, right? His lane is
Trump's lane.
Trump's lane, right? And I think that's his whole campaign strategy is these people that they're trying to generate support, but and they're hoping. I just think that maybe Trump's going to end up in jail, which I think is totally possible, and that therefore people won't want to vote for him, or that the lawfare tactics will work. But here's why Trump is so good. I mean, even Joe Biden was funny. Wasn't Joe Biden tweeting this, but you know, when the Twitter thing was failing with Ron DeSantis, Biden was sending out links to Act Blue, which is the Democrat donate thing, saying, hey, this link works, click on this. But want to play, there were numerous things that the Trump people put out immediately. But this one, and I won't play the whole thing, but this was one of the funniest, I thought. What it is so when you're on Twitter, for those of you who haven't been on Twitter Spaces, you're like, your little avatar picture pulls up here. So if you look at the video, there's fake avatars of Hitler, Dick Cheney, he's the one who keeps coughing, Satan, George Soros. And so those are the people, when you hear their names, that's who they're talking about. But if we could please play Thomas the Trump response video.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Ron DeSantis Twitter space.
Hello? Is my microphone working correctly?
George, can you just wait while we...
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can all hear you, George. Can you just hold on for a second?
Hilfa, I don't think they can hear me.
I can hear you fine, George. Just speak to the
microphone. I don't think George knows how to use Twitter.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Can I please make my big announcement now? Everyone just...
Hello?
Just shut up, George.
Can somebody just mute George?
Dick, could you try not to cough on the...
Okay, so how are we going to take out Trump, you guys?
Guys from the FBI, this is not a private call. This is a public Twitter space. Everyone can listen in.
And it goes on and on. But that's where the Trump campaign, like Charlene, that was the best response. You should listen to the whole thing, because then Trump himself comes on, right? And he kind of takes them all down. And it's just so funny. But because his campaign can do that, the DeSantis campaign, because I got to say, any campaign run by a bunch of self-aggrandizing globalist billionaires, they don't strike me as the most humorous group of people, right?
Sure, some are, some aren't. But, you know, always getting his retreads from the Cruz campaign and from the Jeb Bush campaign.
Right.
And the Jeb Bush people are all over the place.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. So we'll be keeping an eye on that, because before we get to Tim Murphy, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because this is really funny too, this being Party Friday, the Target thing. So Target's losing money now. I went to our local Target. They did not seem to have any of the Satan stuff, the stuff made by the Satanists. Oh, but I didn't look, and there was, it was a little display. No, it was still in the front of the store. It wasn't by the kids section. And I got to be honest, I don't know if it ever was by the kids section, but this one was not. And it wasn't very big. And, you know, so Target now is getting lambasted by the LGBTQ community for not standing up. I mean, they're sort of like the Dodgers, right? You have these horrible people, you know, anti-Catholic people in, then you disinvite them, then you invite them again. And now, I mean, why corporations are doing that is beyond me. But,
well, you got, you know, look at the ownership of the Dodgers. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's some of the minority owners are Billie Jean King and her wife. The big one is Guggenheim Baseball Management, which is, you know, a very traditional Jewish name from back east. And it's got a lot of other people who probably agree with the, you know, the anti-Catholic sentiment expressed. I mean, it's just, they used to be owned by the O'Malleys.
Uh-huh.
And the O'Malleys were very religious, very strong Catholic beliefs and all that, but the ownership group is not. And one of the key VPs is gay, who brought in, you know, Pride Night a few years ago. So, you know, there is no support, and it just shows you what's really out there these days. I mean, who are the billionaires? I mean, are they great people with you'd be wanting to have your kids go visit?
Yeah, babysit for your kids. No. Well, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with, you know, Pride Week, or I don't have a problem with Girl Scout Cookie Week. I don't have a problem with, you know, Chocolate Chip Week, anything like that, right?
Well, it used to be Pride Day. Then it went to Pride Week, and now Pride Month.
You have a problem with
it. You can have Pride Pride all year.
Well, but my problem is, it was one thing when it was sort of targeted at adults, right? But anymore, that I would say the movement has been hijacked by these radical people who want to basically attack and groom and exploit and sexually abuse our children. I think that's
they have to, because they don't, absent that, they don't constitute a large enough minority.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that your basic gay community, right, the people who fought for some of these things are, I guess if they're afraid, they'll get canceled too. But to me, that's where it crosses the line. And I was reading a comment today, and I think this is really true. And that's why the boycotts of Target and the boycotts of Bud Light are good, because it was saying, you know, this is actually, and it is an attack on sort of the religious, God-based, whether Christian, Jewish, whatever, foundations of our, I guess, our humanity, right? And you're going to have to choose sides. I thought that was interesting, because by being apathetic now, by saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to boycott Target, but I don't really like it, but I'm not going to say anything. By being apathetic, you are automatically being grouped in the side that's for that. He was portraying it as, the writer, not Tolstoy, anyway, was talking about, you had, you know, one group, which is essentially the morality, right? Then you had another group, which is the machine, which is no morality, hedonism, everything like that. And these two, the left has embraced, and these corporations have embraced this machine thing where God is absent. There's no God. There's no morals. Everything is fluid. Everything, you know, rules for the elite, different rules for the rest of us. And I think there's some truth to that, that if you're just doing nothing now, then you automatically are siding with them.
Right.
And I think we've seen what can happen when people speak up. And I think, you know, you can make Target pull it back, and you can say, okay, Pride, what, that's one thing. I don't totally need that in my kids section. But to have actual Satan stuff, which promotes pedophilia, to actually have Satan stuff in the children's section, it's like that woman we played that videotape was like, you're kidding me. But I think that that's something to remember, that, you know, it is, you're so likely to be canceled and you're so likely to be attacked. Although AP had to back down. They were saying that, you know, AP was reporting that Target employees were being threatened with violence and confrontations. And then the Target was even there. No, we're not. I mean, not really. Not at all, actually. And so AP had to kind of back off on that. But they didn't have a problem reporting it. But for fun.
Well, I just saw the other day, AP got $8 million grant.
Right.
And which is the way you corrupt the media these days. You give them grants to do stories on climate, not on both sides of climate change.
Right.
But just, and so they just run. You often wonder why all these stories have climate change in them. And it's because
they're getting money out of them. Right. And from Charlene, because we didn't have a problem with incremental cultural revolution, we got this. Exactly. And from Charlene Solzhenitsyn wrote about this, and from Jim, sports, award shows, and corporations don't have any business in political life. Well, exactly. But the corporate globalists who control these things now want to destroy the middle class. They want to destroy us, and they count on us being apathetic. They've been quietly doing the work and laying the groundwork for a long time, you know? And I think, again, it's you have to speak out. I mean, you might, you know, I'm not saying you have to go throw rocks at a Target window or anything like that. But I think you have to say, I don't agree with that. And you have to be not afraid to say that, because by saying nothing, because they're not in a live and let live mode anymore. And you know what? And so we can't be either. We have to say, you can't do this. You can't put that stuff in kids. In you know, number one, why does a toddler need a tucked swimsuit? Because toddlers wear diapers under their swimsuits. Okay. So they're automatically tucked. So that's just propaganda. But because it's Party Friday though, but it's a little bit of a long, well, that's like 2 minutes. I wanted to play. This is a pretty, pretty funny videotape of a guy, a comedian, Alex Stein, who tries on one of the tucked swimsuits at Target. If we could please play the Alex Stein video, Thomas.
This is not USC, this is tuck friendly. Yes, I saw it, she talked to
us. We're at Target, checking out their tuck friendly pride collection. That's right, guys, extra crotch coverage, tuck friendly construction. Thank you, Target.
No, it is.
I don't think this is a tucking one.
That is, look.
Tuck, tuck friendly construction. Okay, well, let's see how tuck friendly it is.
Okay, well, you can.
Wow, it's so tuck friendly. It's nice to there. Let's come in. I love the tuck friendly bathing suit. Look, I got. This is not. You guys see this? It's tuck friendly. But you can't even see it, guys. It's like, this is the best tuck-friendly construction I've ever seen. You see this? This is, Target is so progressive. I love it. Thank you, Target. I just feel like I could run. I could exercise in this. I'm all tucked in. We're getting it. Can't wait to wear this around the pool.
Look, can you see? I mean, that's just the ridiculousness of that from Charlene. Oh, that was hilarious. Unbelievable. I mean, number one, just wear a Speedo, okay? I mean, I don't even know what that, wear a rainbow painted Speedo or something. I mean, there are certain people who should not ever wear those kind of outfits anyway, but it's just so disgusting. And it's just so stupid, right? It's just so stupid. But the thing is though, again, that's one thing. If you're an adult man and you want to go buy a tuck friendly suit, that's one thing. But to be pushing it on children, right? Or on parents who have Munchausers by proxy, right?
Yeah,
where they want to just, you know, live their life vicariously through their children. You know, I mean, that's the danger. And then these kids, well, and then they,
by proxy, is not living through your children. Well, it's torturing others.
Well, but I mean, it's like you're getting, and Munchausers by proxy, you're getting the attention you seek by pretending that your kid is sick.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? That's sort
and
of,
and you make them sick.
You make them sick. Yeah, well, you make your kid, you have a sex change operation, right? You give them hormone blockers so that you can wander around in Hollywood and be with all the cool people. Right. And then your son wears a tuck friendly suit. You know, I don't know. I guess what's the equivalent of the girl? If I'm a girl, right? And so if boys can wear tuck friendly suits, if I'm a girl and I want to say that I'm a boy, does that mean that I can go topless?
No, no. Come on, Julie. You're just not with it. They have binding restriction ones. So if you're a girl, it'll make your breasts appear a lot smaller.
Well, that wrecks your tan line, though. I mean, that doesn't.
You,
I mean,
you can't have everything.
Boys don't have to wear that. Why is that? Boys don't have strap on for the girl. Yeah. From Leo. Yeah, Jim, I'm sure there are people that take a knee, then go to Bud Light, then go buy Bud Light at Target. Well, you know, and again, it's not just Target and it's not just Bud Light. And
well, but it is Bud Light and it is Target. No, it is. And it's because, you know, quite frankly, you expressed it perfectly. You know, everybody goes, well, gay marriage, you know, if they want, you know, and, oh, you know, oh, okay. And eventually you get to hear, God knows, you know, get Sodom and Gomorrah.
There are people who are, there are some people, there was a movement and it got pushed back. So they stopped it for a while, but who were saying, you know, that pedophilia is just like, I mean, that there was nothing wrong with it. It was just like, well, they can't have it both ways. That's the way they were born, but that's not the way they're born because no one's born anyway. Right. And so, I mean, it's all, I think a lot of that is aimed at targeting children and sexually exploiting children. Yes. And I think that is the true evil of it. And that's, I think, what's happening with society. I mean, you're the historian, but society gets to certain points with sexual depravity, right? And particularly when now you're crossing all of the taboos and children are fair game. I don't know how you come back from that, really.
War.
Well,
I mean, that's really what happened to the Second Empire of France. They got incredibly degenerate with all kinds of transvestite balls for
nice
society and everything else. And what happens? They got invaded by Germany and crushed, and so that tended to society, you know,
society. Maybe they needed people who knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
in charge.
Well, yeah.
But I think it is anymore. I used to not think this. Now it's been a couple of years since I didn't think this, but it wasn't really about good and evil and that God didn't really get involved. But that's why, again, there's hope because I believe God is involved, but he needs us, right? Charlene, raise your hand. Go ahead, Charlene.
Oh, well, I hate to spoil this funny party Friday. Those are some funny clips. But do you sometimes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes I think, you know, I refer back to Ayn Rand and her book, Atlas Shrugged. It's like, I feel like our institutions are failing just slowly and then maybe all at once. I mean, does it seem like it's hard to get good service anywhere? Or like, you know, if you take your car in, it takes 2 or 3 times for them to figure out what's going on. And then they get parts that are bad parts. There's a lot of bad parts coming in for cars, and then they have to put it on and then it didn't work and they have to find hope they get a better part the second time, you know.
Well,
and then,
you know,
exactly. And then the other thing is like car accidents, like they're not getting the treatment. You know, you can mess up a whole street, but the police takes 2 hours to get there to move the car, you know, to do the file the incident report, and it backs up the traffic, and it's just like it's just wearing people down. Do you get that feeling, or well, am I just not around?
Am I
not hanging out with enough liberals to just, you know,
yes and no, Charlene, in that it does seem like everything is falling apart hard and fast. But here's where the hope is, right? As we've said, we had our living room flood, then we had our basement flood. So we've been dealing with a lot of contractors.
Yes, exactly.
But the thing is we're not calling corporations or anything like that. We're calling Tim Smith. We're calling Claire
exactly.
Looney, right? We're calling people that we have done business. We're calling Eric the handy guy, right? And
exactly.
These people come through and these people drop. To me, the service there has been astonishing. And I think that's where we need to stick together. And that's Charlene
exactly.
They're trying to attack us because they're trying to keep us from doing that, right? They want to go ahead and make Tim Smith have to file some sort of DEI kind of thing where he won't get a rating, which she can't afford, blah, 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 right? They want to force us all these corporations.
Yeah.
They can just, so, but that's why, again, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but, you know, buy from your neighborhood liquor store, buy from
exactly.
your coffee shop, buy from your, you
yeah.
know, seek out the local handyman. I mean, here's the
right.
thing they also don't want us to do. You know how I find sometimes we find a yard people? Ask your neighbor. Right? They don't want us doing that. They don't want us talking to our neighbors because then we might say, hey, what do you think about the water rates? Right? I mean, everything.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
That's
but you know, I'm talking about like governmental services, like a gas line broke on our street and it just took forever and they messed up everyone's yard. And then when they came out to fix it, they just threw sod on it. They didn't water it or anything. And then it died. You know, it's like governmental services. They're like police and you know, all that. It just seems like there's just, the institutions that are federally or state funded, even though we throw this money at them, we're not getting good service anymore. And it's just,
well, they can't fire them, right? I mean, how good a service would you do? You know, if you're like,
all 20 work week.
Right, exactly. No, but
I started thinking, and then about new employees, you know, it's like you're in Ayn Rand, it's like people walk off from their jobs because they did not want to deal with the regulations, you know, and like the train, you know, people that operated the trains were like, hey, we got two trains coming at each other and no one knows how to fix it. So I don't want to be responsible for it. So they just quit and they, you know, the people that disappeared, remember in the movie?
Right. Yes.
And
you never see them again.
All the good people quit working. It's like, well, where did they go? Well, we don't know where they went.
They
disappeared. And so, you know, the last scene was when the lights went out in New York City because someone didn't repair the switch, you know, that was supposed to keep it on.
Right.
And anyway, it just seems like it's kind of headed that way. And even though, and you know, and the whole thing about Twitter, it's like, I mean, there was an overload, you know, I know, but also it's kind of like, I know it's novel to do that for DeSantis to do that, but it's like we finally got to video and TV. And what are we doing? We're just kind of trying to listen in like a radio.
Exactly. Hey, listen, Chalina, I hate to cut you off, but
we got to go
to Tim Murphy. But thank you. Those are great.
Thank you,
as always. And we have Professor Tim Murphy with us. Tim Murphy is the author of The Christ Cure, had a great column up about the child trafficking with the illegal immigrants. So, Professor, thank you for coming on the show. Appreciate your time.
Well, it's good to be called Professor. I haven't been a professor in a long time, but thank you.
Oh, okay. So what should we call you? Should we call you Extreme Commander? Or no, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Red Leader.
I was a Navy Commander. I was a doctor. Yeah, I guess I'm on here now as Dr. Tim Murphy.
Okay, Dr. Tim Murphy. Hey, well, listen, I read your column and it was great. And it was particularly timely because I don't know if you were aware of this. Just the news had a story up today. So since 2019, when we've had all of these children, tens of thousands of children crossing the border illegally, they've been doing DNA testing at the border to make sure that the kids are related to the adults who are bringing them in, right? And they found in doing that basically as many as 3 out of every 10 kids has zero relationship to the adult bringing them in. They're not family members, right? So the Biden administration has decided to stop doing that next week.
Well, because they're not going to stop them bringing the kids in. So,
but they're not even going to check to see exactly.
Well, they don't care.
But why don't you talk? Your column is great because you said, you know, hey, you know, the left makes this big deal about slavery. Mm-hmm. And look what we're doing to these kids, right?
Right. And let me comment a couple of things, because I've talked to some Border Patrol and there's different three groups of kids that are coming over. One are kids who are genuinely related and the family is coming over to the United States seeking to be in. Now, and of that, there's two groups. There's those who are coming over and going through the regular legal process, and those who are coming across and led by people from drug cartels. The second group are kids who are borrowed. They come over with a group to show that they're family. Family comes to the United States, the kid goes back, and the kid is used again. So these two kids bounce back and forth to be used as, to make it look like a family. The third group, however, is involved with human trafficking. Right. This is an incredible scourge. And the column you're referring to is on my website, which is drtimmurphy.com. And I note that between the 1500s, 1525 and 1866, some 388,000 African Americans were brought to the United States for slavery. It's a horrible number. But what is also out there now is an estimate the number of women and children forced into sex slavery in the United States each year ranges from 240,000 to 325,000, according to the federal government, HHS.
Wow.
And a University of Pennsylvania study said maybe it's 100,000 to 300,000. Even the smallest numbers say it's 15,000 to 50,000. And many of those have been smuggled through our open borders.
Right.
So what we have is this modern day awful slavery where kids are either working or they're involved with the sex trade, a horrific situation. And on that reason alone, we ought to be stopping everybody coming across the border and stopping the slave trade.
Right.
It's an awful situation.
Well, it is. And, you know, I mean, the column that I was reading in Just the News, it was talking about, it mentioned the fact that the Biden administration admits that they've lost track of some 85,000 kids, right? So now, do we think those kids are living in happy, healthy homes, going to school, you know, caddying at the country club, you know, to make money? No, I mean, I'm sure, just like you said, 85,000 kids that they have no idea where they are or what's going on. I mean, that's just, and we got drug cartels. So we know, I mean, they're the ones that are using them to smuggle drugs. They're using them for the sex slave trade. You know, they make all this big deal about, you know, stopping human trafficking, and then they're allowing it to go on. I mean, just to me, there's no other word for that but evil, particularly when it comes to children.
Well, nothing says evil more than the Biden administration. I mean, literally what they're doing at the border, what they're doing in Ukraine. You know, there is no morality in the Bidens, and the Biden laptop certainly proved it. It's
hard. Let me add to this too. Another element that's of grave concern is the number of children coming over who have other problems too.
Right.
So again, I'm looking at some of the most liberal sources of information here, but suggesting that 25 to 80% of immigrants may have some other level of mental illness symptoms that come across. Now, there's a wide range of numbers because it's hard to be accurate there, but they have been experiencing poverty and crime and violence in their life. And as they're brought up, particularly if they're part of being brought by the drug cartels, the family has probably given all their money, life savings, for these folks to come up here. And then you have very likely the women and children have been abused physically, sexually on the way up. So we bring people up here, and again, they're supposed to be screened at the border. So one of the things that still is supposed to happen with the end of Title 42 is that people are screened for health problems. And according to Border Patrol agents who tell me, they ask them a number of questions about physical health, but also mental health. Do you feel depressed? Are you addicted to drugs? Are you suicidal? And they said, no one's going to answer those questions. Yes, because that will delay or deter them from coming into the United States. Now, this is important because we already have a mental health system in this country, which is, I only put in quotes, it's disastrous. We cannot handle the number. And what COVID did is the lockdown greatly increased depression and anxiety among adolescents and young adults, so that depression rates doubled, suicide rates doubled, anxiety rates doubled, suicide continued to climb, as did drug overdoses. And now suicide is the number two killer of our youth, teenagers and young adults. We can't handle this situation. It keeps getting worse. And anybody with a compassionate heart has to be able to say, we've got to get control of this situation, but it's not happening. And that's an awful situation.
Well, and it's awful, you know, and again, they say, oh, bring them in. I mean, it's just a lie, right? Out of compassion. But for instance, here in Denver, they've been getting 300 or so a day in, and obviously the city doesn't have the facility. So they've closed down the city building, the city offices building. And so they're housing illegal immigrants there, right? Who don't really have any place else to go. They don't have anything to do with it all day. So to your point, let's say you're a woman with a child, you come across, you've both been sexually abused, you've been traumatized, you're not. Now you get here, and where do we put you? We basically warehouse you in a city administrative building, you know, until with
the abusers.
Yeah, with the other abusers, exactly. And I'm sure the cartels prey on people there too, with really nothing to do. And I'm pretty sure that the city is stressed enough that there's nobody in there saying, "Are you okay? Do you need help?" I mean, how do you think that affects these people? On top of that, all then now they get here and they have nowhere to go. They're homeless, basically.
It continues a tragedy, and this is where the government becomes either actively or passively complicit in this. Under any other circumstances, if we knew a parent was doing this, putting their child in an unhealthy situation, the child welfare services would swoop right in and say this is wrong. Under any circumstances, we'd be considered wrong. We're an overwhelming charitable organization.
Right.
I find it particularly concerning that a lot of religious organizations already are, unfortunately, in today's world, are looked down upon. You say anything about faith, and they consider that an anathema. But they're the ones being pushed to this, too. So between government-run programs, charitable programs, all being overwhelmed. And I know when I talk to them, I mean, they scratch their heads and say, you know, we're not going to turn people away that show up at our door. But we don't know how we're going to handle all these things, because the system's overwhelmed, too. And then you have what happens to the workers. Can they maintain their level of focus on this? Do they get overwhelmed too? We really have strained our network far beyond the functional level. And it's been a problem for decades, but it's getting so much worse.
Well, and can you talk a little bit about, I mean, I'd be curious about your conversations with the Border Patrol agents when they talk about the children, because I think there's a part of us that you always want to say, oh, that's just an exaggeration. They're not really selling the children into sex slave rings, but they are, is what you're telling us.
Sure. These are government numbers I was quoting before. If you look at websites that the federal government has about the number of children who are trafficked in this, yes, there are a lot of kids in the United States who are abducted and trafficked, and that's just showing how we can't even keep track of the children who are here. But when more come across and some are lost, how many more are there? And how many do we tolerate? One is too much.
Right.
And so now, even if once they reach an age where they're no longer useful through the cartels, they no longer have them there or they escape, now they have the continuing problems of their trauma. So in my practice as a psychologist, I treat people with trauma. Now, I focus on veterans and first responders, but across the board, trauma is a huge, huge issue, and one that we struggle with a long time. I recently published a book on this. I should say it's called The Christ Cure, 10 Biblical Ways to Heal from Trauma, Tragedy, and PTSD. And I know there's ways to work on this. But again, faith and religion are important components of that. And a lot of people who work in the field of mental health professionals, even my own field of psychologists, a lot of them do not want to talk about faith or religion too. It's somehow become this third rail we're not allowed to talk about, but we know it is an area that can help people. So Even when we do have resources there, people want to turn an eye away from them and helping them.
Right. Well, and it's crazy, you know, when you talk about the trafficking here. I mean, I was a TV reporter for 30 years and did a series of stories about the, you know, the sex trafficking here. And a lot of it for the people who are like for American teenagers, like this one case, it was a girl. She obviously had trouble with her mom, right? There's trauma going on there, right? She and her mom had issues. Mm-hmm. And so she finds a boyfriend. The boyfriend is great to her. The boyfriend loves her. The boyfriend buys her stuff. Then the boyfriend says, you know, I need a favor. My friend Bill, blah, 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 right? And before you know it, she's lured and she thinks he loves her, right? So she wants to help him out. So she has sex with Bill. Well, then the next thing she knows, you know, she's her mother finally finds her picture because she ran away on one of those internet postings. I mean, it was an escort service, right? And it's her 15-year-old daughter is being pimped out. And now the boyfriend doesn't care anymore. She's just one of his stable of girls. And yet she wouldn't, they got her, the mom brought her and she brought her back because the girl, as you said, it's like she needed the kind of help that her mother wasn't capable of giving. This was a girl where it developed slowly. When you talk about these kids coming across a border, they don't even have to pretend that there's a boyfriend who's going to love them, right? I think, I imagine mm-hmm. they're just shoved straight into it, right?
Sure. You're talking about the long process that goes through this, how they groom people. And a lot of people who are brought over too are used in labor. I mean, almost a slave labor process too that involved with human trafficking. What do they say about 30%, 27 to 30% of those involved with this are children that should never be allowed, never be permitted. And there is a group, and these oftentimes tend to be veterans or former policemen or well-meaning people who are in the business of hunting down those who are involved in the sex trade and the human trafficking and the child trafficking projects. Find these kids, find these people to put an end to it. And I look upon this as why aren't these federal government programs doing this, engaging in this more?
But because we have to send stuff to Ukraine, don't you know, right? We can't, you know, you're absolutely right there. Again, this girl that I did this story with, so it was a tricky situation because finally what they did is they got law enforcement involved. And so they arrested her, which is sad that you have to, that was the only way they could keep her. And so they did that and they put her into some therapy, right? But there were not in the state of Colorado, there were not even remotely enough therapy organizations to help her in her situation. So they have to send her, she goes to California. I don't know what's going on in California now, but to your point, I mean, this was maybe 10 years ago, right? They were already overwhelmed with this and they all knew, I mean, and again, you think of the trauma that these kids are going through. And to me, it's just wrong. And how you, like you said, you need to be able to talk about religion and call it what it is, which is evil, that they would allow this to be happening to adults, bad enough, but to children, you know, who we're supposed to protect.
But ultimately, what's the solution? And the solution's easy, I suppose. It's to close the border. And mm-hmm. so Trump has to win, or somebody who wants to close the border has to win. And then he can't let the congressional leaders fool him, saying, oh, we'll do that next year and do that next year. But we got 2 more years of the world is coming to. And by the time mm-hmm. 2 years, who knows how much will be left of the economy.
Well, you have on this, yes, the border has to be greatly controlled. And then you have to go through the United States and find those who are involved in this trade, these practice, whether it's child slave labor or adult slave labor. I find it sadly fascinating, I don't know if that's the right word, that while people are talking about reparations and tearing down statues and renaming buildings for those who were involved in the slave trade back in the 1800s, none of us believe that that was a good thing. We all agree that that was an awful thing. But the focus is on those things that are long gone in history instead of what is going on right now. And I think, where's the outrage? Where's right. the leadership coming from on Pennsylvania Avenue to say, we're giving this full force of all of our law enforcement efforts to shut this down? It's not right. there.
Well, they're searching out. They're searching out dangerous radical Catholics.
Yeah, parents. Yeah, again.
People go to school board meetings.
Yeah, and they've got to go after them. Well, as you said, you know, the Christ cure, I kind of think, to me, that's hopefully appropriate on all kinds of levels, just not psychological levels, right? The cure to what's ailing us as a society. I mean, can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So this is a book I wrote for those who experience a lot of PTSD and trauma. And anxiety and depression. And that is one that I tracked the life of the Apostle Paul. Biblical history here, this is a guy who was beaten with rods 3 times, 39 lashes 5 times, wrecked at sea, floated around the Mediterranean a day and a half, bitten by a poison snake, run out of town, stoned and left for dead. And I'm just getting started. who any one of those events should have left him horribly traumatized with all the symptoms of isolation, poor social relationships, alcoholic, suicidal, whatever. But I find it fascinating he wasn't. Now, the Bible still has stories of people who have fallen, and some have broken every commandment, but they're called upon to change. And I looked upon him and said, well, why didn't he? And then I thought, well, I got to find a book on this. And it turns out no one wrote a book about that. And so this is the result of this. Tracking the life of the Apostle Paul, but I also put a lot of other stories, of contemporary stories of people either I met, I was a Navy psychologist, the people I've met there, or the people that I've known. I have to combine the stories so you can't identify the people in them, but other stories of people who in contemporary world have really struggled. But the message I wanted to get out in there is you don't have to be defined by your past and by your trauma. You really can emerge, not just learning to calm down and meditate and take medication, but really through what Paul says, to be transformed by a renewal of your mind, to be connected in a greater way and use your faith and the trust in God and the love that God has for us, the grace of God, to help us heal. So I hope people take a look at that, because I wrote this book not only for those who are suffering, that is the broken, but the people who love them. Because many times those who are struggling cannot see it in themselves or are so overcome by their own failure, their own self-hatred because of their shame. They feel they cannot get better. But this is also written for people who love them and say, you know, I want to help you. I want to reach out. I want to teach you that there are things you can do in your life to turn it around. You don't have to be doomed to this. You don't have to be depressed and suicidal. It's been done. The lessons are there for thousands of years because they work.
What's also interesting is Bernard Langer. He's a golfer from Germany. He's now playing at age 65, trying to break all the records and stuff. But he came from a small village in Germany. He didn't even know he was any good at all. All of a sudden, he found he was great, gave him the world tours. And the week after, he won the Masters, the first European to do it since Sebi Ballesteros, he fell into an incredible depression, suicidal depression. And how did he get out of that suicidal depression? Jesus and yeah. faith. And so it isn't just people who have gone through horror and awful things. It's a human need that no matter how proud you are of your human exploits and so forth, you're still empty inside. And so, you know, the Jesus solution isn't just one for the downtrodden and the traumatized. It's for all of us who live in the human condition. And that's
exactly
why
right. And hope. Yeah. That's where Paul says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And he gives example after example of how he has seen these in his own struggles. Yeah, it doesn't have to be the worst, but the advantage is if we look upon these stories of those who had it far worse than we may ever think. And I said, no matter what it is, whether trauma and problems have been put upon you or whether that you put them on your own heart, maybe things you've done that you regret, maybe it's the thoughts that we have. Look, I understand depression. A lot of it's also biological, and sometimes medicine helps. But medication can change how we feel, but it doesn't change how we think. And it doesn't change our spiritual connection with God. That is where we see a much better prognosis and a much better hope. But we have to make sure that when I say sometimes if I want a clear room of counselors or psychologists, I just simply have to say the name Jesus. Because many of them are afraid of that. They don't understand. They're afraid. And we've developed now in a society this Christophobia, this terrible prejudice against it. We've got to fight back, and that we fight back with these messages of hope, with return to this. And this is where I hope people see in this book a way to do that. I've done the biblical research, so you don't have to sit on your Bible and do that again. But tell people understand there's this link really in what we know in modern psychology, the great example you gave about the golfer, that any of us can be subjected to feel bad and depressed in life. But we can also crawl back sometimes, many times. It's a tough crawl, but there's ways to do it.
Well, listen, you have been wonderful. We've run out of time. Dr. Tim Murphy, where can people get this book?
Well, my website is drtimmurphy.com, and that's drtimmurphy, drtimmurphy.com. That links with other sources, but you can also go to Amazon or Books A Million or Christ Books, Christian Books, or to Barnes & Noble, any place you can get books online. I might say, too, I hope people do buy it. I don't make a lot off of every book that goes to the publishers and others, but of the dollar I do make, I use those to help support the programs I do with veterans and first responders. So I do hope people will do that. It comes in book form and audio form, too. So thank
all
you.
Right. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on and your insights. It's been wonderful.
All right. God bless.
All right. Thank you, Professor, Dr. Tim Murphy.
Dr.
There.
Tim.
That is going to wrap it up for us on this Party Friday. Yep. So remember to cheer yourself back up. Think about the Trump meme with Ron DeSantis and the guy wearing the tuckets. Maybe don't think about the guy.
I apologize
to anyone who will not be able to get that image out of their brain. I'm sorry about that.
Or I feel sorry for anybody who's going over to Target to pick one up.
Don't send us a picture. Hey,
don't send us a picture.
Programming note, we're going to take Monday off. We'll rerun today's show on Monday. But we want to thank the great guys at BBS, Dr. Murphy, all of you guys on Zoom. You can catch all the shows at chuckandjulie.com. And we are now heading off to Party Friday.
Yay!
See everybody.
Take care.
Have a great weekend.